Oh yeah, that funkified groove must mean it's time for another Alarm Buzz, the podcast that brings all aspects of the alarm industry together with leaders from integrators, hardware manufacturers, software developers, central stations, and more. In this podcast, we discuss the latest industry happenings, new products on the market, best practices, increasing value and protection for your customers, increasing RMR for you, and much, much more. Are you ready? Let's get our buzz on. Welcome to another episode of Alarm Buzz, the alarm industry podcast where we have real conversations with real people in the industry who have good ideas. I'm Trent Watcott, the podcast host with the okayest podcasting voice in all of podcasting. You know, Hannah, of all of the feedback we could be receiving to make this podcast better for our industry, the feedback that we've gotten the most is, Trent, you don't have the worst podcasting voice in all of podcasting. So I'm changing my intro.
Worst.
That's right. So I've decided
that
now
to talk about something else.
Yes. So to get everybody to other topics, I am now the podcast host with the okayest podcasting voice in all of podcasting, and I appreciate all of the feedback. Of course, we have our producer, director, editor, publisher, scheduler, strategist, creative genius, marketing extraordinaire, cruise director, and former donut maker, Hannah Boone, yes, with us today to meet my rustiness with some WD-40. Hey, Hannah, what are you up to these days?
Oh, you know, just chugging along. And you know what? I actually was a donut maker at one point, so there's some truth to that. Not a cruise director, but I did do some donuts back in the day.
That's right. I know that. So we had a few of these shows in the can, and it's been a couple of weeks since we recorded one. It's amazing how rusty the time off can make you feel. So seriously, keep that WD-40 handy, because I am rusty. We also have the distinct honor of having Sam Taggart with us. He's a man who really needs no introduction, but I'll do it anyway. Sam is the founder of the D2D Association, D2D Con. He is a well-known speaker, author of the ABCs of Closing, and I will say the S in that ABCs is a dollar sign. So that's a hint to what you get out of that book. Sam is also a podcaster, and he's the CEO of the D2D Experts. He's built a multiple seven-figure consulting business in under 3 years. And through this process, he's consulted over 150 businesses nationwide to help them create, implement, and grow their door-to-door programs. Sam is also an avid real estate investor and a crypto investor. Everyone who knows Sam knows that he is full of energy, and his motto is full send as he continues to push himself in all aspects of life, running Ironman, music, travel, and learning new skills. Holy crap, Sam, I hope I can keep up with you on this episode.
No, thanks for the intro. That was beautiful. I was like, wow, you pulled a lot out of this. I was like, did some homework. I love it.
Well, we try hard. We try hard. I can't say I've ever done an Ironman, but I do try.
Love it.
So I have a lot more I can say about Sam, but I will put him to work in a few minutes telling his story. But first, I heard a really cool story the other day. May I share it with y'all?
Yeah,
go right ahead.
So when Cameron Javdani, the owner of SoundSecure, was on the show a couple weeks ago, he mentioned that in the Orlando airport, there is a NASA gift shop, and that he buys stuff for his kids while he's there. And I mentioned at the time that two of my sons are way into space. The space program, what Elon Musk is doing. I cannot remember the name. SpaceX.
SpaceX.
It's awesome stuff. You know, he's working with NASA. We watch every single trial they do. It's fabulous. Well, the other day, my son, whose name also happens to be Cameron, was talking about the research that was done before NASA sent anyone into space. And he told me about these X-15 flights. Are y'all familiar with those? It's freaking incredible.
No,
so they did it to conduct research on flight outside of the atmosphere. And they ran into a problem as they were preparing for these flights. They had to use rockets to propel these X-15 airplanes, but there wasn't enough fuel for them to be able to get high enough altitude to be able to leave the atmosphere to do the research. So what they decided to do was they launched them, these X-15 airplanes. This was a joint venture between the Air Force and NASA. They launched them from B-52 airplanes 45,000 feet in above sea level. So you've got these huge B-52s. On top of it is strapped this X-15, and it's a rocket. And you can only imagine how incredibly dangerous that could have been. But these pilots, they agreed to do it. They balanced out the risk to their own lives. And one of them, unfortunately, did lose his life in an accident, but they balanced it with the benefits to humanity, and they agreed to do it. It wasn't until 2005, 4 decades later, that they were honored with astronaut wings. All that they had done and the risk that they had taken on, and it took them 4 decades to receive their wings. And by that time, only 5 of the pilots remained, and one of them was a man by the name of Neil Armstrong. You may have heard that name before. He obviously had received his wings before, but they held a ceremony to honor the other pilots for the work that they had done. And at that ceremony, Neil Armstrong spoke. And it's interesting, he didn't mention himself at all in that speech. He honored these men only. Unfortunately, there were only 3 present. But something he said really struck me. He said, "Research is exploration and discovery. It's investigating something that no one knows or understands. Research is creating new knowledge." 2 things grabbed me about our industry as I thought about that quote. First, I thought about Elizabeth Parks and the research that Parks Associates does. I thought about how they are discovering new knowledge to pass on to this industry and how important it is for our industry now to re-engage in research. A lot of Parks' message is how the customer is changing as we were leading up to COVID, but also post-COVID, and how we need to change with them and meet them where they are. They're wanting different things now mm-hmm. from their alarm integrator. It's not just a key fob and a couple of door sensors and a window sensor. There is so much more that they're wanting as new technology is being developed and that can be implemented into a home or business. Elizabeth and her team are working hard to bring this knowledge to the industry, and their work is stellar, no pun intended. Any integrator who wants to up their game, meet their customers where they are, I cannot recommend Parks Research enough. My background is in marketing, and market research was one of my areas of focus. And I've seen their research, and I can attest that it's solid stuff. The story also got me thinking about how we can never stop researching on how we approach our customers, and how our customers are savvier now than they've ever been. And it got me thinking about door-to-door mm-hmm. and wondering how it can be improved upon within the industry as the customer is changing. One of the relationships I hold dear in my career is with a friend of mine named Mike Bosworth. Mike wrote the book. He actually wrote the book Solution Selling, Customer-Centric Selling, and he co-authored What Great Salespeople Do with another friend of mine, Ben Zoldan, another relationship I cherish. Mike once told me that the sales profession is the only profession that does not practice its craft. They do it in medicine, legal, accounting, education, all required to get CEs, but sales isn't required to do any of that. And a lot of times what happens is people do an initial training with their salespeople, they send them out, and they immediately begin to misbehave. It got me thinking about how we sell in this industry and how we likely are just starting to ramp up our sales efforts after coming back from being grounded and sent to our rooms for COVID, and how it may be time for us to pull out our own WD-40 and get the rust off of our own selling. And I immediately thought of Sam Taggart. I was aware of the work he has done. He and I had never met. So I reached out to him on LinkedIn and I asked him if he'd be willing to come on our little podcast, and he graciously agreed. So Sam, thank you for being on the show and welcome again.
Oh, excited to be here. And that was an awesome story. I'd love to go to space one day. That would be an epic journey. So,
oh my gosh. It would be
full set. That'd
be a full set.
Yes.
That is the definition of full send. Absolutely. Sam, tell us the story of what led you to where you are.
Well, I've knocked doors since I was a wee lad. I sold curbs. I sold curbs when I was little, all through high school. And then my brother's mission companion was Keith Dyer. I don't know if you guys ever knew Platinum Protection back in the day with Jared Hollow, Chance Allred. Anyway, 2008, I'm graduating high school, and I'm like, hey, I want to go sell. And they're like, pest control or alarms? And I was like, well, where do you make more money? And they're like, well, alarms pays more. And I was like, okay, need you say more? And I was like, all right, let's do that.
Awesome.
And he's like, well, where do you want to go? Because he was the owner. And he's like, Dallas or DC are my best teams. And I was like, I'm going to go to wherever's closer. So let's go to Dallas, because I didn't know the manager. Right. And I was like, I don't know, whatever. So, and then I ship out, you know, it was one of those like typical training stories where you're like, you meet the manager for the first time when you're out there, he shadows you for an hour or two. And then Saturday is like, all right, you're on your own. And shipped out and said, good luck. And so he gave me some contracts and made me figure it out, you know, and it kind of comes back to your whole training and practice. And, you know, I realized that luckily I had door-to-door experience. Luckily I was, you know, in the trenches all through high school and junior high, and was able to really know how to transact and know what it was like to have objections and know what it was like to really be in sales. And so I, you know, it wasn't a new kick to the face, but I think it's a new language. It's like medicine. It's like if I were to ask you to go do surgery on somebody right now, you'd be like, okay, I guess I can cut in. You would feel very uncomfortable. You know, it's like, I don't know what's under this skin. I'm assuming there's blood in there and muscles and somewhere else, not cuts. And, you know, it's just like, it's funny you use that analogy, but it's like, you know, so I luckily had spoken that language for a while, but I ended up selling five my first day, and I hit it off right away. And my second week though, I go back to the office and everybody was like, whoa, how'd you do that? Like, that's amazing. And I was like, I don't know. I just went out there and told people they get an alarm. It's, you know, $50 a month or whatever. And, anyway, so I learned real quick that mindset has everything to do with your sales ability as well. So, you know, that next week I only sold five the whole week, and I was, you know, kind of right humbled back to like, oh, I got to actually learn this. And, you know, I went through my ups and downs. I was about average my first year, maybe a little above average. I did like 80 something. And then throughout the years, I just got better and better. And in 2014, I finished number one at Vivint. You know, out of 3,000 some people, and
right
teams, and sold a lot of alarm systems. And I, you know, now I did solar for a little bit, and then for the last 3-4 years, I've really just kind of felt like there was a big void in the door-to-door space. And so I felt like a lot of deceptive sales practices. That's why you get the AG complaints, and a lot of people that really were undertrained. There wasn't really any resources. And it's funny, I actually don't tell the story that much. While I was at Vivint, I had started a Facebook group. We called it Can't Knock This back then. And I would ask like other sales reps to post their training. And I would say, hey, will you post a video of like a nugget or this or that? And my regional actually shut me down. And Vivint was like, you can't do that.
What? Because,
yeah, so they kept like smashing on it. And then like Rogue, I'd be like, F them. I was going to go do it anyway. And then getting the slap on the wrist kind of thing. Like, Sam, stop. Like, what if somebody finds that video and then uses it against us? You know, there's a lot of like scrutiny around this sales. And, you know, they want to manipulate like us just trying to do our job right.
That's unbelievable.
So then I just started my own website. I created a website for my team, and it was private to my team, called The Pack. And mm-hmm. I made my own training videos because I thought Vivint's training was okay. Like, I was like, yeah, it's subpar. You'd think for like a $1 billion company, they'd be okay. And so I made my own, and my guys performed a lot better than most everybody else. Like, we had the highest rookie per up average out of 150 teams. You know, we had really good results. And everybody's like, well, what are you doing? They're like, well, Sam's training website. And everybody's like, oh, how do I get access? I'm like, you got to come work for me. Sucks to suck. And then, So I had this like private rogue website that nobody knew about because I didn't want to get in trouble again. I left and did solar, and then like 2 months later, I was like, I guess I'm not even selling alarms anymore. So why do I care if anybody has these videos? So then I just posted like, anybody want free training videos? Here you go. I'm not using it. And I just shared it. And all of a sudden companies and other reps from all over the world were like, Canada, everywhere was like watching these videos. I get like 500-700 clicks a day. And I'm like,
wow.
Wow, this is actually like something viral. Like every short
to this.
Yeah, like I'm like, everybody shared my private like ghetto videos on my phone. You know, they weren't like it wasn't done well. Like it was so ghetto.
And that's awesome.
I came to the realization like there was a big need for training out there, especially amongst the smaller companies. You know, it's like I look at like, you know, I work with Brinks and we do their training, and we do a lot with ADT and, you know, a lot of these Fluence, Accline and Safe Home and Northstar, all those people I do their training now. And it's interesting because there's this like element of, you know, they're so cautious in the alarm space because of all the lawsuits when it comes to training. Like, it's almost like, what do you want me to do? I can't train my people because you're going to like sue me because if I put out a video or this or that. And we've kind of taken on this like third party approach of and liability of like, well, I mean, it's them. And then what are you going to do? Come after us? We're just a training company. And so it's kind of helped the alarm space quite a bit, just because of, you know, and obviously we want to teach them to do it right. We're not like in the business of, hey, let's just, you know, do some deceptive stuff. Like, no, we have the nonprofit, the DD Association, to clean up the bad apples. And, you know, our mission is to unify, up-level, and bring honor and integrity to the door-to-door space. And I'm a firm believer of, you can go door to door and do it right, and you can keep a good reputation. You don't have to, you know, have scummy people out there. You don't have to screw over customers, and you can transact very healthily. And I think that the companies that adopt a good door to door sales program and treat it with love and give it some good TLC, like investing in their training and onboarding and systems, are going to perform at a high level. I mean, you just see some of the biggest alarm companies out there are the ones that have really strong door-to-door programs. So,
man, what's crazy about that is the likelihood of somebody misbehaving it is enhanced by not training them.
By not training. It's so true.
Just putting them out there and you're throwing them to the wolves. To me, the likelihood of them being sued, that's crazy that Vivint would do that. And I'm Switzerland on that. I mean, I think Vivint's a great company, but I just can't believe that they would say you can't post this. I mean, certainly you are moderating posts. If somebody was saying, go up there and flat out lie to a customer and tell them it's, you know, $2.95 a month, and you're going to bill them night, like the blatant stuff, you can easily
pull that
crap down.
No, so it just, I think there's a lot of people, you know, it's quite interesting. It's kind of this abundancy versus scarcity mentality, right? So a lot of people got really nervous when I would, you know, post stuff because they're like, whoa, you're sharing your stuff. You know, the first three people, I have a podcast, I have, you know, 200 something episodes, top entrepreneur podcast. And, you know, the first three people I called, I was like, and they're all alarm guys. And I was like, hey, would you hop on this podcast and share some of your tips and tricks? And the energy was no. And I was like, really? Like, you're just flat out no. Like, and they're like, well, why would I make my competitors better? Why would I train people that aren't under me that make me money?
Interesting.
And I go, interesting. Well, That's one way to look at it. I look at it very opposite. Why don't we up, like, rising tide lifts all ships? Like, why don't we just better the industry? Why don't we better everybody? Like what you're doing with this podcast, it's kind of like, how do I, you know, I don't, you don't know who listens to this. You don't know who finds this, but at the end of the day, like, if you can add value to somebody, like, good, amen, good on you. And my mission was just like, hey, I don't care if you work for me, not like, you know, when I started the podcast, I was a VP of sales of a solar company. And everybody was like, well, why are you spending time and energy on this? I was like, just because it needs to be done. Like, there's so many people. I'm like, because there's people bleeding in the streets, getting their face kicked in and have no resources. Yep. And there's so many undertrained entrepreneurs, like dealers out there that do 5 accounts a month. I was playing basketball with Dan Anderson last night, who runs all of Brink's, you know, direct home program, right? Uh-huh. And, you know, out of hundreds of dealers, it's like 10 of them produce any kind of volume. And it's like, what are the rest of you guys doing? You're just like doing a couple accounts a month. Congratulations. Like, I could do that a day, you know? And it's like, you know, and it's crazy to see just kind of the leadership, the lack of systems. And if I could freely give, and I've made tons of YouTube videos and podcasts, and I have an online training, and, you know, we have events, we have a business boot camp on Monday where CEOs come to us, like a huge company, what's it called? Zev out of Canada is coming, an alarm guy. And, you know, he's coming in out of Canada on Monday to go learn, to really just learn how to recruit, how to train, how to onboard, how to motivate, how to create competitions and create a culture where people want to be part of. And it's just a lot of people just have never been trained and invested in that kind of stuff. So I'm like, hey, if I can freely give out kind of those things and learn and study, like, and do my research, like my Parks kind of homework for those systems, then I can better this industry. And that was kind of what I set out to do.
That's awesome. You know, that was a concern of mine when we started this podcast, because we will bring on dealers who have really good ideas. And I thought, man, in fact, I remember the first person I talked to about this was John Loud, who owns Loud Security in Atlanta, and very successful, very nice guy, just a true Southern gentleman. And I said, you know, when you're on this, I don't want you to feel like you have to say anything that's going to teach your competition how to compete with you. And he said, I'm not worried about that. He said, if it's good for the industry, I'm willing to share. And then as I was researching and learning more, he speaks all the time and trains, and he knows that there could be people from Atlanta watching his stuff, and that doesn't concern him. And I love your analogy about it rising all ships. Yeah, that's 100% true.
It was cool. I just got done with a tour. So I literally went around the country, drove my truck and trailer, and I had events. I had one in LA, I had a Phoenix, Dallas, Atlanta, Orlando, Charlotte, Chicago. So I did all these pop-up events. And one was in Atlanta, for example. And it was so cool to see all the competitors in the same room. Like, this was like this. Like, I just barely got back. And, I'd say, look to the left, look to the right. These are people on the streets that you're just like in the battlefield with. Like, you're competing, you're recruiting against them with, you're swapping deals and stuff 3 years later. You know, dang it, I lost a customer. I get it. But motto, like DDD Con, I thought the first year we threw Door to Door Con, this is our 5th year coming up January, and you know, we've had awesome speakers, but we bring in all these different competitors, and I did a VIP dinner where I had literally the owner of Northstar, the owner of Fluent, the owner of Skyline, and the owner of a big regional over at Brinks, all the same VIP dinner table, and I was like, nowhere else you would ever see that. That is cool. And you know, and I said, how cool is it that we can work together and come as a team, learn as a team, but then leave as a tribe and really just create alliances, create best practices. But I go, healthy competition is what drives the economy. That's what capitalism is. Like, you want competitors. I want to like 100%. Have competitors in my space. Why? It makes me better. It makes me want to play harder. And I said, in off the streets, you guys got to play nice. It's like fighters, MMA fighters aren't slitting each other's tires. You know, they're not. throwing rocks at everybody's windows and like before the match, you know, but they get in the rink and they're just like, you know, imagine like the energy in the rink. It's, and then afterwards they're like hugging. They're like, hey, good fight, man. That was good. It's like, I just kicked your face in. And now I'm like, you know, next day I'm like, hey, dude, how's that nose? I'm sorry, I just took you one, like right on the front. Like this is sportsmanship. And I believe the MMA, where they literally are punching each other, literally kicking each other in the face, can somehow play ball outside of the rink, then I believe Tordor people can do. You know what I mean?
I love that analogy. And we sponsored a boxer. Absolutely. When I was with a different company, and his name is BJ Flores. And actually BJ is now the trainer for Jake. What's his name? The guy that just fought Floyd Mayweather. So BJ Flores is his trainer, but we sponsored BJ when he was boxing. And when I talked to him one time, I was like, I just don't understand that mentality. Like when me and my brothers would get in fights, or whenever I got in fights in school, like once that dude hit me, like I was pissed, and that stayed with me forever. Like how does Conor McGregor, you know, get, you know, pummel some dude, and then that dude's like, hey, Conor, like what's up? Like a week later, I'd be like, how is that even possible? But it makes sense that they're, you know, it's the same type thing with dealers. Like there are plenty doors to knock. First of all, in this country, there are plenty doors, and there one guy is going to get the business. So everybody might as well try. And by getting the training that you need, you're only equipping yourself, but you also know what your competitor knows, and you may find some way to use that training against that person. I mean, there's, and not that that's vindictive, but if you know what your competition knows, then that just prepares you that much more to be able to get the business. But it only helps everyone. When I started in sales, I thought it was that you hated your competition. And then I found out that so I worked in education publishing, and that meant we pretty much had the summers off because college professors, they're not in their offices in the summer. So this one guy that I knew said, oh yeah, my competition and I, we would all go and, I lived in Dallas he lived in San Antonio, and he said, we would just all go float down the river as friends in the summer. And I was like, that is so bizarre, but man, that's how it's gotta be. So what you're saying is dead on.
It's super interesting because I have this assumption. It's like, great, all the answers are out there. You probably even have the answers. The difference between the guys winning and losing are the ability to take the knowledge and execute on the knowledge. It's like, I'll give you all the answers. And, you know, I have some clients that complain. They're like, I need a refund, or I can't do this. I'm like, what? Like, you just didn't do what I told you? That's the problem? You're not performing, like, because you're not working? Oh, congratulations. It's not what I'm saying is not working. How about you just take some ownership, look in the mirror and say, oh, I didn't do any of the things you told me to do, you know? And it's like, well, then there's some companies that we 10X. We've literally taken dealers in alarms, for example, that have been doing, you know, 10 a month and now doing 100 to 200 a month. And you're just like, cool. They did it. They took the systems. They recruited the people. They followed the formulas. They applied and executed on the stuff. And they got out in the streets and started working. And I think too many people think the answers are sitting in a cubicle or sitting in an office in an air conditioning and being like, well, you know, my phone's going to ring more. It's like, oh, it's like, sorry. Like, you know, like, I can will it to ring. They will call. Like, no. Keep pushing and keep being broke. You know what I mean? And I think that there's so much opportunity in this industry. Like, I've made millions of dollars selling alarm systems just being a sales manager. Like, I didn't run my own company. I didn't have a freaking full, like, multiple pay. Like, I didn't have residual. Like, and I just worked my ass off. Like, I did 400 accounts a summer. Like, yeah, that's a lot of accounts personally. My teams did 2,000 plus. Like, and in the summer. And some people are like, oh, I haven't done that in the last 5 years. And it's like, well, what are you doing? I'm just a one individual. It's like,
yeah. No, I think that the training is needed more, and this is the whole sales industry, regardless, it's needed. But there is not a, in my view, there is not an approach to selling tougher than door to door, and learning to do it right takes away so much of that challenge. What are some of the changes that you've seen in the market within the past couple of years that make it more important for companies and their door-to-door salespeople to keep practicing their craft?
Yeah, I mean, it's different. Like, I just was out, like, last time I did alarms was 2015, and then I've done alarms training, so I, like, spot, like, a week here, a day here, and, you know, here and there, right? And it's so interesting, but I'm still out there knocking. Like, I was knocking last week in solar and roofing and satellite, and like I do it all now. It's weird. But the customers are just getting more access to more information. So it's easier to pull out their phone and look up a Nextdoor app, or look up, you know, a Facebook, or look up, you know, a BBB. Like, those things are just becoming more normal, where because the past, like, for example, you know, a lot of older people just weren't super tech savvy, didn't have smartphones. You know, it's like, if you don't have a smartphone today, it's like wild. Where when I started in 2008, it was kind of like, oh, the younger generation's the more hip. You know, they had a smartphone, but I didn't even have a smartphone, I think. But so one of the things that I'm seeing is a huge shift in how people research, how people fact check, how people look at pricing and their perspective to, you know, just their perspective to buying and their buying threshold. And so you being able to, as a salesman, guide them through making them feel as if they've done their research and they've validated you as a company or you as a sales individual, it's very important. So we, for example, we started the DDD sales certification through the nonprofit, the association. And the being is because we said, how do we third-party validate an in-home sales rep, right? Like, one more tool they can have on their tool belt that says, you know, customers can say, how do I know you're legit? Anybody can go make a website. Anybody can go make a badge that has a number on it. And so if we could have some real organization third-party validate a company or a sales individual, that just is another way to increase trust. So it's like a sales certification we just launched, like, last month. And, you know, things like that that are going to help instigate better consumer trust are more and more important. Also, you've got virtual selling that's a very common thing. You know, getting on a Zoom, getting on a face-to-face like this, it's like way more common because of COVID, where I've seen a lot of companies being able to set appointments and then just finish it up over Zoom, or, hey, you know,
oh,
or
that's cool.
They go tee it up and then just do virtual selling. I've seen a lot of people, you know, the customization of smart homes has changed a lot. So taking alarm specific, it's kind of like you've got a lot of DIY competition out there. And it's kind of like being able to build value in the fact that you have somebody servicing, monitoring, you know, that the whole element of, you know, cameras, the recording, the clouds, the, you know, what is the value really there? And then, you know, what's funny is some people forget. I've watched salespeople almost lose the real heart and soul, though, of alarm systems, in the sense of there's still an emotional attachment to protecting my home and family. And some people get so caught up in the gizmos, gadgets, that they take away the emotional selling. And sales is a transfer of emotion, enthusiasm, right? And so, you know, everybody asks me, like, what's your favorite thing to sell? And I still would probably say alarms. The reason being is it has the most fun sell to it. You get to play with people's emotions and pinpoint. You get a kind of like, say, here's my menu. Let's really figure out what you want to order. Where solar, it's one thing on the menu. Pest control, there's one thing on the menu. It's like, we're gonna spray. and roofing is change your roof. Like, that's it. Like, do you want a brown or a light brown shingle or a gray one? entire roof. Like what's so beautiful about the alarm cell is you have, okay, are they more conscious of like invasions and people coming in when they're asleep? Are they more focused on, I want to know who's at my door through a doorbell camera when I'm out at work? Is it more, I want to have a touch to my kids when they get home from school? Is it more, you know what I mean? There's so many story after story after story after story that you're just taking, taking scenario and story and applying it to customer. You're saying, okay, ooh, you remind me a lot of my grandma or this lady, Betty Sue, that we helped out that, she was stubborn. She's like, I'm not going to nursing home and I'm going to die in this home. And you're just like, you know what I mean? And you're like, you're one of those. Cool. Let's cater this to you. Where solar, it's like solar, yeah, power, electricity. Cool. There's not much anything else to it. You know what I mean? So I actually think the alarm cell, in comparison to everything else out there that's selling, it's so much more versatile in the sense of customization, story selling, emotional selling, which to me is the funnest. Like, I'm an emotional type sales guy. I'm not a super like, let's look at the fact and figures. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? I like to connect. I like anyway, so those are, I guess, a few. I mean, there's a lot that we could talk on, but there's a few.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I worked with Mike Bosworth and Ben Zoldan that I've mentioned in their book, What Great Salespeople Do. The subtitle is The Science of Selling. Oh crap, I'm going to mess it up. The Science of Selling Through Emotional Connection and the Power of Story. And they did an incredible amount of research, and Hannah has met them as well and has been through their training. But when we tell Plato even said, the people who tell the stories rule the world. And that's 100%. That's how people can understand how something is of benefit to them. That is, I'm really excited to hear that. What do all of the, I'm just going to call it D2D enterprises, everything that you've done, the conglomeration pulled together, what do you offer that will benefit alarm integrators as they're ramping their door-to-door back up? We're now in the summer. COVID is pretty much behind us unless something crazy happens. What do you offer that will be of benefit to them?
A lot. You know, over the years, we've kind of built different things, and we've built it around the mission, which is to unify, up-level, bring honor and integrity to the space. And so we've done a lot of masterminds, and we have like a CEO mastermind that we have a lot of alarm people like Paul Heaton and Zev, and you know, and then other industries like roofing and satellite and pest guys, and then we private consult with those guys. And then we have three pillars that we've really focused on, which is sales, leadership, and recruiting. So we have trainings and recruiting events. We have, you know, sales trainings and sales events and online training and DDD University. A big one that we focus on is we help companies build and create their own customized white label training platforms that help with retention, onboarding, sales performance.
Awesome.
With, you know, 1,000+ videos, alarm specific trainings in the field, hidden camera, you know, real live, that's like really good sales training. And then we go and film, edit, create, fit, like put their logos on it, and we make their training content. So like Skyline, for example, they have, you know, 500 of their own videos that we've helped them put together. They've put in alarm.com, they put in the Qolsys, they put in this. And then we've created a system for accountability, you know, good content. We're always adding new stuff. So that's like a common one. We call it a DDD University or, you know, corporate account. And then we do, you know, a lot of leadership stuff, like our business boot camp once a month, where business leadership comes together and systemizes their business from training and onboarding to, we have sales boot camps. We have DDD Con, which is in January. We have a bunch of vendors and really cool keynote speakers. We do all sorts of cool stuff to really help people. So I would just say, get on a call and set up a demo, see where we can fit and support you. And, you know, we've trained over 10,000 salespeople. We've helped, you know, now 200 and something businesses in person, let alone all the ones that have come through our boot camps. We've had over, I think it's like 900 businesses come through our boot camps over the last 2 years, which is crazy. I mean, different industries to painters to meat people to, but it's a formula.
Meat people.
Yeah, if I can help you get more reps, here's the biggest problem: is it's if you have 10 reps and they're doing, let's say, 100 a month. Okay, what if I got you 20 reps? And it sounds like the average guy does 10. So then you would do 200 a month. You know, I can tell you. If I can help your people, you know, they're talking to 5 people a day. And you're like, why are you only talking to 5 people a day? If I can come up with a system to get them to talk to 20 people a day, what happens to your company? If I can get your closing ratio, like I've gone and watched so many alarm guys sell, and I'm like, so bad. Don't ever say that. And they're like, no. Just like, well, that's what my manager said, and this manager said, and this manager said. And I'm like, the traditions of our forefathers. No. And, you know, see what I'm getting at? It's like, well, don't say that. And if you studied the psychology of selling, you're going to understand why and the logic. And so one of the things that a big thing that we push is just, if we can help your guys, instead of talking to 10 people and closing one, what if they could talk to 3 people and close one? How much more would you guys be selling? So all those things is where we really help companies make a lot more money and live a better life. And a lot of this stuff is personal development. It's what's in between the two ears. And, you know, this quote I heard today that I really liked is, it's the longest distance you'll ever travel, and the hardest distance is the 18 inches between your head and your heart. And I think that there's an element of like personal and leadership development where we help not just you make money, but become a better human being, you know, get more passionate, find more, you know, gusto behind your mission, and, you know, serve and make a difference. I'm taking a bunch of CEOs to Guatemala, and we're doing a service trip, and, you know, like how we orchestrate together. And anyway, it's fun. Like I just say, drink the Kool-Aid. We'll help you we'll just make your life better. That's our mission.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So I don't know if you know, but everybody who listens knows, and in the industry who we've reached out to, but we do this podcast purely out of enjoyment and reaching the market and connecting. We have a business called Alarm Hive that is business management software for alarm dealers. So it's what they need from lead generation all through to running their billing, so inventory and everything. And the very reason that we got into this industry is the very reasons that you're talking about, because we felt like this industry is one that is hard, that understands the challenges that people face, that understands the importance of keeping somebody's family protected, and it is like salt of the earth. Just good old fashioned work, and the people are just fabulous. It training them to do better is something that we feel like it only helps improve those things. So I think what you're doing is awesome.
And I appreciate that. And I appreciate you guys pushing the mission too. Like, I mean, there needs to be more people pushing that. Because like my big shift, you know, that helped me go from 180 to 160 to 300 to 400 accounts in a year. Like when I could start to say every single person in this neighborhood needs an alarm, instead of I hope I find somebody that needs an alarm. And I said, it's not my job. God is the one that dictates who gets broken into, who has the fire, who, you know, like that's not my job. I can't play God here. I'm not the one that forecasts who has the problem. I have to protect everybody, and then hopefully nobody has any problems, but it's not my decision on who does. So if I didn't do my job right and protect every home in here, then shame on me, because I didn't, like, you know what I mean? Like that was my big shift that helped me sell a lot more, is everybody needs this. And I remember pushing this old dude into getting it. You know, a lot of times you have to put some pressure on him. And, you know, a lot of people are like, man, you're selling this old guy, taking advantage of this old guy. I was like, no. If he were to fall, and, you know, and I, with every old person, I'm like, if I didn't sell you and you fell and you died and I was the only option for you to ever get survive, then that's on me. And I went back to this town a year later, and this lady answers the door in just this other neighborhood, and she starts crying. She's like, are you Sam? I was like, yeah. And I was like, what? And I was like, this is awkward. Most people normally yell and tell me to F off. Like, this was a different one. And She's like, well, you set up my dad last year down the street with an alarm. And believe it or not, about 6 months ago, he fell, he hit the button, it saved his life. And I can never tell you how grateful I am for what that did for him. And, you know, if you pay attention to all the little stories like that, and it builds the value, you know, you're just like, wow, for all the 1,000 people I set up, maybe none of them turn it on, but that one guy used it.
That's good. Awesome.
It was worth it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, who knows? And it wasn't my job to know that was the one that was going to make all the difference. And, you know, just look at yourself as a superhero and say, everybody needs this. That's my 2 cents.
Very cool. Well, you know what? I think that is a great way to end this podcast. What is the best way, Sam, for somebody to get in touch with you if they want to improve their D2D efforts?
I'm really responsive on Instagram. So the Sam Taggart or D2D Experts on Instagram, you have two. And then or you could just go to our website, thed2dexperts.com. We got a YouTube channel. I mean, there's a lot. Like, listen to our podcast, DM me on there. I don't know. Like, honestly, just go to our website and set up a call. That would be the best way.
That's great. Yeah, thanks so much. Man, this was a ton of fun, ton of laughs, but a lot of really, really good, helpful information. There is not a dealer out there who couldn't benefit from what we discussed, but also to taking this discussion further with Sam. Please remember, life is hard, unbearably hard for too many people. And I want to put a challenge out there to myself and to everyone. At the end of the day, let's look in the mirror and ask ourselves, has anyone's burden been lighter today because I was willing to share? And by share, I simply mean share a smile, share a wave, share a greeting. If you're in a store and you see someone who works there with a name tag, call them by their name. It's their most prized possession and will help them to feel better. It's so easy. And the bonus is it makes us feel better too. And in the words of Alex Lifeson, Geddy Lee, and the late, great Neil Peart, if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. Thanks so much for listening, and we look forward to chatting on the next episode of Alarm Buzz. Take care.
Submitted, displayed, published, or broadcast without prior written permission by Alarm Buzz.